Turning your Bibles to the book of John, the 20th chapter. The 20th chapter of the book of John. Some of you may have noticed I've been getting emotional here, so hopefully I'll get my eyes cleared up so I can read. I'm going to read the entire chapter of John chapter 20. Last week we looked at John chapter 19. Today we're going to look at John chapter 20. It's 31 verses long, so it's going to take a minute to read through that. See if I can get my eyes cleared from the tears in my eyes. John chapter 20. It starts off with the empty tomb as we celebrate Easter today. Remind us of that time. Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb early while it was still dark. And she saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. Then she ran and came to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, that was being John, by the way, and said to them, "They have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Now Peter therefore went out, and the other disciple, and they were going to the tomb. They both ran together, and the other disciple outran Peter. That's probably because John was the youngest of the apostles. Some have said he may have been as young as a teenager at that point in time. But anyway, he ran faster than the old man Peter did. And he stooping down, that being John, looking in, saw the linen cloths lying there, yet he did not go in. Then Simon came following him, and he went into the tomb, and he saw the linen cloths lying there, and the handkerchief that had been around his head, not lying with the other linen cloths, but folded together in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, whom came into the tomb first, went in also, and he saw and believed. For as they did not know the scripture that he must rise again from the dead, then the disciples went away again to their own homes. But Mary stood outside the tomb weeping. As she wept, she stooped down and looked into the tomb. And she saw the two angels in white sitting, one at the head, the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. Then they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Now when she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, and she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" She, supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." And Jesus said to her, "Mary." And she turned and said to him, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, and to my God and to your God." Mary Magdalene came and she told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things to her. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors had been shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and he stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side, and the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. And so Jesus said to them again, "Peace to you. As the Father has given me, as the Father has sent me, I also send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." Verse 24, "Now Thomas, called the twin, one of the twelve, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said to him, "We have seen the Lord." So he said to them, "Unless I see his hands, the print of the nails, and put my finger in the print of his nails, and put my hand in his side, I will not believe." And after 8 days, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas was with them. Jesus came, the doors being shut, and stood in their midst, and said, "Peace to you." Then he said to Thomas, reach your finger here, and look at my hands, and reach your hand here, and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing." But Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believed." And truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. The key word is believing in that passage. I know it was a long passage, but I wanted to share that and read that, because what I want us to look at here for the next few moments is Easter, which we celebrate today, and some call it Resurrection Day. It's a time to have a fresh start. Have you ever wanted to think, "Well, if I could just go back in time and start over and have a fresh start"? When I was talking to my niece on her birthday the other day, I said, "Well, how do you feel?" She said, "Like an old lady." She's only 45. And I said, "Wouldn't you like to go back to 29? She said, "No, I'd like to go back to 19. Because I could do a lot of things different that I've made mistakes in." All of us have probably said that. And all of us have wished we could have a fresh start. Well, with Easter, we can. Because when we believe in Jesus, we begin to receive from Jesus. If we don't believe, we cannot receive anything from him if we don't believe in our hearts. So the key word in that passage is believe. Now, there's two things I want us to look at. The first is, to make a fresh start, we have to believe in Jesus. And we know a lot of people, we have family that don't believe in Jesus. I hear people from time to time, a lot of times, in fact, I hear people say, "I don't believe in your Jesus," you know. Okay, well, you know, that's your choice. I do believe in Jesus. Someone once said, "We do not first see, then act. We act and then we see." And that is why the man who waits to see clearly before he will believe never starts on the journey. So in other words, you know, as Christians, we could say, "Well, we haven't seen Jesus. We see pictures of Jesus, but we haven't physically seen Jesus." But I say, yes, you have. We can see Jesus in each other. We can see Jesus in the faces of others that are Christians, others that do believe. Believing is not a blind faith. Now, some people would say and argue with a Christian and say, "Well, you just have a blind faith. You don't know who you believe in. You don't see him. He's not a physical person." Well, we have historical records. We have God's Word, which is historical, the Gospels. We have the writings of Paul that talks about it. And Paul even saw Jesus, remember, on the road to Damascus. We have the historical records. There are even non-biblical historical records that identify Jesus as being who he was and what he did. There's the works of a guy named Josephus that wrote a lot of history. And he verifies. Even the Muslims, a true Muslim, will recognize Jesus as a prophet, but not as great a prophet as Muhammad. But they recognize Jesus. They should, at least, maybe not the radical ones. But anyway, we have the historical records that Jesus was real. We also have the eyewitnesses. The apostles saw Jesus. Can you imagine? They were in that upper room, and they had locked the door, probably because they didn't want anybody to know they were in there. They were in hiding so to speak, because, I mean, they could have been next in their mind's eye. And then all of a sudden, Jesus appears in that room. Well, he first appeared to Mary Magdalene, because she was probably the closest one. She loved him probably more than the apostles did. She's the woman that had been cleansed of all the demons that she had. And she became a follower, a disciple, not an apostle, but a disciple of Jesus. Then he appeared to the apostles in that room. Then he appeared to them again a few days later when Thomas was there. And Thomas says, I cannot believe unless I can see the nail prints in his hands and see his side and put my hand in the wound in his side. Now, I honestly believe that when we get to heaven and we get to see Jesus face to face, I believe we're still going to see those nail prints. You know, I believe he's left them there for a reason for us to see them when we get to heaven. Not that we're going to need it to see it, but I believe we will see them. So we have the eyewitnesses of Jesus' account. We have transformed lives. Our lives as Christians, hopefully, have been transformed into a new person. Now think back when you were not a Christian. Maybe that's back in childhood, you know. Or maybe it was as an adult when you became a Christian. Think back at that time before you were a Christian for a moment. How was your life different than it is today? Well, it was transformed when Jesus came into your life. There was a man one time that was in a church that I was pastor of. He wasn't really in the church. I went to visit him, and he came to church, and he accepted Christ. Now, this guy, he wasn't Mr. Nice Guy, okay? He had a bad temper. He was mean. He drank, and he was abusive to his wife. And he accepted Christ, and I baptized him. Later on, years later, he became a deacon in his church. But right after he became a Christian, he was with some of his hunting friends, and they were drinking some beer. And when they got through with the can, they threw the cans in his truck. He said, "Don't do that." They said, "Why? We've always thrown the beer cans in your truck. You collect them up. When you get so many, you take them off and scrap them, exchange them in for money." He says, "I don't drink anymore." And I go, "What do you mean you don't drink anymore? When did that happen?" He said, "When I gave my heart to Jesus the other day, and my heart was transformed." He says, "I don't want those cans in my truck because I don't want people to think I'm the same old person that I was." So we have our own transformed lives that show us that we believe that Jesus is alive and that he lives within our hearts. Believing is trusting, a trusting faith. It's trusting a faith in him. There's a pastor up in North Carolina. His name is J.D. Greer. And he pastors a mega church. Like, they have about 11,000 plus people there today. And they have so many campuses that they do it, some of it through television screens. But he once said, faith is not the observance of doubt. Excuse me. Can't see. Faith is not the absence of doubt. It is the continuing to follow Jesus in the midst of doubt. Now, have you ever had doubt? Oh, yes, we all have. We've had doubt. Sometimes when we're sick and we're praying for healing, sometimes when we're praying for someone else to become a Christian, sometimes when we're praying for needs that we have and they don't get answered immediately, we have that doubt that comes into play. That's Satan trying to come in and say, "You don't really believe in Jesus. You're just doubting him. You know, he's not going to come through for you." Doubt, we know it. All of us experience doubt. That's not negative for us. I mean, if we run with it, yeah. But if we push it out by faith and say, "I know Jesus is going to answer. I know he's going to answer." Other day, when Friday night, John Mark and I went to a Good Friday service at First Baptist Church in Statesboro. It's always a beautiful service. And we were in both vehicles. And when we walked out, I guess some people probably thought I was stupid. But I laid my hands on my truck and I said, "Lord, it's not running good. Can you hold it together until we get it fixed? We'll praise you for it." Drove home, didn't have a bit of problem. Don't mean it's not going to have a problem today or tomorrow, but I prayed over it. You know, do you ever pray over your vehicles? Do you ever pray over your house? Do you ever pray over your family? We should. We should be praying over all these things. There's nothing wrong with that because we have a faith in Jesus Christ that we know beyond a shadow of a doubt He's going to take care of it on His timetable. Now, as we make a fresh start, we receive something from Jesus. We receive His mercy. We receive His blessings for sure. Jesus even said in John chapter 10, verse 10, I have come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. So, all of us need life. All of us need that life more abundantly. We cannot deny that fact. But do you need life from Jesus today? Maybe you need forgiveness for a past sin that you haven't confessed. You know, Jesus said, whatever you confess, you know, you confess your sins to me, I'm willing to forgive it. I'm faithful and just to forgive. Now, sometimes we think, well, you don't know what I've done. I don't have to know what you've done. God already knows it. But if you just simply confess it, turn it over to Him and say, Lord, I've got this. I mean, someone shared something with me this week and said, you know, I did something bad with my husband one time. And he got drunk and I got drunk with him. And I said, well, that's not the unpardonable sin. And she said, I know that. I've already confessed that and I got my life in order now. And I said, well, that's great. But we need to be reminded every day, every time, every Sunday before we partake of communion, it's on the screen that we ought to be in prayer for ourselves and lift up anything to the Lord that's sin in our life. And then we may need hope for the future. You know, we don't know what tomorrow brings. We really don't know what tomorrow brings. We have to have hope. You know, with the war tensions in the Middle East, you know, we don't know what to believe anymore. You know, you see one minute on the news, we've wiped out their military, we've wiped out their missiles, we've wiped out their Air Force, we've wiped out their Navy, and then all of a sudden they shoot our planes down, you know. What do we believe? What do we believe? You know, it is conceivably possible we won't be here tomorrow. I mean, we don't know what tomorrow has. But we need that hope that through Christ, we're going to get through tomorrow. If He comes back or if the United States is blown up, we know where we're going. That's the key thing. We also need a peace for the presence. Remember, Jesus said, peace with you. He told them twice in that passage. You know, it makes me think about when Jesus was in the boat with His disciples earlier on, and He'd fallen asleep, and this storm came up on the Sea of Galilee, and they woke Him up and said, Master, do you not worried? Are you not concerned that we might perish? And He woke up and He said, peace, be still. And it stopped. Now, when I was a teenager and I went to Israel, we got on a boat on the Sea of Galilee. And as we were going across, a storm came up. I thought about that passage. And different ones on the boat began to pray. And all of a sudden it calmed down and clear blue sky. And the lake was just as calm as all get out. Jesus gives us peace in life. He gives us the peace of knowing that He is in control of everything. He gives us that peace for the present. You know, as we think about health, Zelfia, Patricia, Brenda, different ones of us that have health issues, God gives us that peace. I got you. I got you in my hand. I've shared this before over in the book of Isaiah. The 40th chapter, verse 42, verse 12, not 42, 42 verses. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, or measured the heavens with the span of his hand? You know, God's got a big hand. He's got all your troubles. He's got all your situations in the palm of his hand. Here's some facts that go with that. If you took a bucket, a cubic mile size bucket, that's a mile wide, a mile deep, and a mile high, and you dip it into the Atlantic Ocean, it would take 85 million times of dipping that cubic mile bucket in the Atlantic Ocean to empty the Atlantic Ocean. And remember, the Atlantic is only 40% the size of the Pacific Ocean, not counting the Indian Ocean and the Arctic Ocean. And yet God can hold the waters in the palm of his hand. He can handle your problems. He can handle your hurts. He can handle your pains. He can give you the peace that you need. Also, at the speed of light, it takes 4.2 years to reach the nearest star. He measures off the heavens with the span of his hand. He got a big hand. So he gives us peace, he gives us hope, and he gives us forgiveness. We can face Easter and tomorrow because of what Jesus did for us on the cross. I hope that you take time today to thank him for what he's done for you and what he continues to do for you. Don't take it for granted. Just take a moment in silence wherever you have a time to be alone and just thank God for that. A friend of mine told me yesterday that said that her pastor had sent a text to her and her husband and said, "Why don't y'all come to church early and come down front and just spend some time in prayer?" Same couple that I mentioned a while ago that's going through some family problems. And they had talked like they wanted to come to church here today, but they said they were going to go to their own church so they could spend some time just themselves praying before the Lord. We all need to do that. He gives us forgiveness, he gives us hope, and he gives us peace. As we close and go to the Lord in prayer, I thought of two more prayer requests that I wanted to share with you. One, the lady that does my taxes, I used to be her pastor, and I saw her the other day, and I did not know this until yesterday. I saw a Facebook post that this lady's mother had died, and this mother was a member of the church that I pastored. And I had just asked about her the other day. I did not know that she had died, and the funeral was going on as I was reading the Facebook, and I was nowhere close to being able to go to the funeral. And so her name, my friend's name, that's an accountant, is named Sharon Jackson. She's with H&R Block in Statesboro. She's the manager there. So just pray for Sharon, her daughter, Rachel, and that entire family. Just pray for them as they've lost their mother and grandmother. And also, I wanted you to pray for my sister. She had her surgery a week before last, and she's doing better. But when you're used to getting up cooking and you're used to getting up baking cakes for people and you can't even stand on your feet because she's not allowed to stand on her feet for at least 8 weeks. So keep my sister Rachel in prayer. She's really depressed and in a lot of pain still. So keep her in prayer. And I just failed to mention those two earlier in our prayer time, but you remember them in your prayer time. So let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then let's stand and sing. Father, we thank you. And as we celebrate Easter, thank you for giving us a fresh start every single day. You give us a fresh start because of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for hearing our prayer. Thank you for speaking to us. Now, as we sing a final song, if there's any decisions that someone needs to make or a prayer, may they come forward and just spend that time with you. Lord, we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.